Well, good morning.
Morning.
Good to see everybody. John, I was thinking about what you said about Lisa's, is it her brother? Is that right? Yeah. So Carrie's not in here. So the day before we got married, we had our rehearsal wedding, and our rehearsal dinner and, you know, run through and everything. I won't tell you what happened, but suffice to say, I screwed up badly enough that as we were getting ready to drive to the rehearsal dinner, I was like, okay, seriously, are you sure you still want to marry me? I mean, it was like, because she was really upset. If I told you what it was, you'd be like, okay, from a bride perspective, you can get this. But from a groom perspective, I was like, and? It was one of those wedding details, you know, that kind of happened there. But I was seriously like, wow, she's really upset. I'm like, is this still happening? What's going on right now? So thankfully, it was okay. And we got married and everything was fine. So, but I was like, I had one of those issues that weekend. Yeah, maybe not like those. I don't know what those issues are, but I can relate. Carrie is extremely gracious. She's been married to me for almost 14 years. And she's a gift. It's incredibly gracious of our God. All right, so we're doing a series right now, fighting some allergies, so bear with my voice. We're doing a series right now. We're talking about music. We're talking about song, and we've been using it as a metaphor for the spiritual life. It's probably the weirdest and strangest maybe series you've ever been part of, period, but certainly is from a parenting perspective. But I think it's really important because what we're doing as parents is we are creating a culture for our kids. We're modeling for them the Christian life. And so we want to take this idea of music, and we're talking about how this translates into our lives as believers, just using this again as a metaphor. So we've started the very first week, which is sort of the song title. What is the title of your life, your life's song, if you will? Or if you want to think of it as a playlist, what would be the title? We said it's something along the lines of Jesus. That is the title of your life, or it should be. Or maybe it's, you know, praise to God, or God is great, or something like that. This is the title. And then over the last couple of weeks, and what we're going to continue is kind of putting in these pieces of this song. And so we said, okay, if you're looking at music from a classical perspective, if you ever played the piano or other instrument, everybody see over here? Sorry, I feel like I'm blocking it. Where you begin is where we started actually was I kind of did a kind of a feint towards the notes, because everybody thinks, well, if you're going to learn a piece, you got to start with the notes, but that's actually not where you start. You actually have to start with the key signature. Otherwise, you don't know what the notes are necessarily. Okay, so, you know, you've got a key signature when you look at music. So maybe we're playing in the key of D. So we said as believers, what God is calling us to, this key that he wants us to live our lives in, is the key of the Spirit. Okay, as opposed to the key of the flesh, we're living in the key of the Spirit. And then last week, we talked about the rhythm of life. We talked about, from Scripture, we talked about the Sabbath and all of the festivals and the sacrifices and all of that that we find in the Old Testament, and then how that translates into the New Testament. And that through that, God is communicating something, that great composers use rhythm to communicate something to us. Imagine the theme song for Jaws without rhythm. Suddenly, it's nonsensical. It doesn't mean anything. But with the rhythm, da-da, da, 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 da. That shark becomes very real, okay? So we have rhythm. So maybe you have like a 3-4 time signature or something like that. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about tempo. And then next week, we're going to talk about the melody. We're finally going to get back to the notes. We had to put all that in order to get to the notes. So we're going to talk about the melody, or the motif, if you will, next week, the theme. But today, we're going to talk about tempo. And so if you're looking at a musical score, it's usually written right up here, and it'll say something like this, andante. What does andante mean? Anybody? What's that? Yeah, so andante, yeah, it's a medium pace, okay? And so you'll find in music there's a lot of different terms that they use to express time. Because time matters. You can have the right rhythm, but you can have the wrong speed, and it completely changes, again, what the melody is or how it would be communicated. So imagine like Beethoven's Fifth. Everybody knows Beethoven's Fifth? Dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Goes on from there. Now imagine that if it was played way too fast. like it becomes nonsense, becomes mush. Or it's too slow. Dun, dun, dun. Right? You lose it. Okay? There's a tempo that's appropriate to the piece. So maybe it's andante, or maybe it's presto, or maybe it's allegro, or maybe it's largo, or go on. There's like.
Does it have to be Italian?
Yeah, actually it does. Good for you, right? See? So it's in whatever language is your heart language. How's that? There's also designations within music, by the way, that are important to pay attention to as well. And one is like, how would you say it? Accelerando. I'm not sure exactly how you say it in Italian, but accelerando, which means to speed up, or ritardando, which means to slow down, or a tempo, which means go back to the pace that you were at. Okay, so you have these different moments, or rubato, which means to sort of take your time. It's a stealing of time. And so there's a pace, but there's also ebb and flow within most musical pieces as well, where you speed up or you slow down or you take your time, you let it breathe. Okay. Now, all of this has to do, or where I want to take us here, is has to do with, like, how do we think about time? Okay. How do you think about the pace of your life? And the question I kind of want to ask this morning is this. What is the right tempo for life? How fast should our pace be? Or slow, how slow should our pace be? And how do we begin to answer that question? So to help us, we're going to do a little experiment. This is the slide that you should have been seeing. This is the question. What is the right tempo for life? So we're going to do a little experiment. I want to introduce you to my friend. And I want you to, as you watch this video, I want you to think about, how does this make you feel? Okay? This is my friend, the snail. Okay. I could have shown you more. All right, now, how did that make you feel? Think of it this way. Not in terms of the snail. I heard somebody say, ooh, that's not what I mean. But just watching it. Okay, it's slow, isn't it? Is it painful? Yeah, it's painful, right?
First relaxing.
And then it kind of stressed you out, right? Kind of stressed you out. Who felt like? Yeah. Nice. I'll include a link in the email if you'd like, if you would like to watch it. And then you kind of like chilled into it. Okay, that's, yeah, it's kind of stressful, right? How many of you are like, man, I wish I had that minute of my life back? You know? It's like, I'm never going to get that minute back. It's done. It's over.
You're looking for the salt.
You're looking for the salt. That's just, dude. You won't shoot skeet. You won't shoot skeet, but you'll torture a poor slug with a shell. That's horrible. All right. So for us, we're going to have to talk specifically about American Western culture here, because time is viewed very differently, and we'll talk about this in a moment, in other cultures and other places. But for us in the West, this can be torturous, right? Watching something like that is a waste of time. Why did I watch that? That was painful. I'll never get that minute back of my life. And the reason for that is because we see time as something that's always moving, okay? Time is something that's always passing us by. We see time in a very sequential, logical, linear fashion, right? It's moving from in front of us to behind us. And so if I was to draw it, for example, I might illustrate it something like this. We see time, like if this is, this is a person, hard to tell, okay? So time is coming this direction, and then it passes us by. This is the past. Here's our present. It's kind of always now. And then we have the future, okay? And it's passing. It's this linear movement that's going past us, and it doesn't stop, right? And once it's behind us, well, that's in the past, it's forgotten. We don't really worry about it, it's behind us. We even use that expression, the past is behind us. But the future, the present even is fleeting, correct? I mean, it's always now. I mean, how do you even define that? But the future is extremely important. We spend all of our time, using that word, thinking about the future. We're either planning or we're worrying. And we see time because we see it laid out in front of us. We can schedule it. We can plan it. And we can allot certain activities to certain parts of time. And so to not make use of one of those segments, like that minute watching the slug, that feels like a waste of time because that time is going to pass and you're not going to get it back. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a second. But there are other ways of viewing time. So does anybody come? Anybody here grow up in a culture that has a different concept of time? Anybody here? A little bit, kind of?
No, in a blue-collar society.
Blue-collar?
Yeah.
Different?
More, yeah. That's a little different than this part of Dallas.
Okay. Would it be different from what I just described right there, and how so?
A little bit. Because you're living in the moment. You worked hard all day, you're exhausted, you come home, you're living more in the moment, you're not living for the future, because you're not going to be able to pay all the bills in the future.
There you go. Okay.
So you're going to enjoy right now with what you got.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah. Yeah.
And their, like as a culture, their view of time is completely different than Western.
Okay.
Like everything's much more, like nothing's in a hurry. Like if you order something and you, like, it'll come, inshallah, like by the grace of God. Like they have no, there's no due date.
We hope it happens. Yeah.
You go to lunch, you stay however long, you come home. It's just a very, it's a more relaxed sense of time every day.
Yeah, so this is called monochromatic view of time. Sort of like in psychological terms. A multi view of time has to do, is more like Southern Europe or even the Middle East, Arabic states. And that is oftentimes, what's interesting about it, if you've lived in Southern Europe, which I have, so living in Italy, what you find is that they'll tell you that they live according to a schedule. They don't, they're lying to you, okay? So they'll look at it and say, oh yeah, we've got an appointment to meet at such and such a time, but that doesn't actually mean that's when they're going to be there. And everybody knows that, okay? Because their view of it instead, like we see it as, okay, this time is passing me by and so I've got to get to it. But if you live in Italy, it's whatever's happening now in front of me, not for the same reason necessarily of like the blue collar, you know, I have to just deal with what's happening right now. I can't plan for the future. But in the sense of there's a higher value for the present. For the current event, what is happening right then. This will drive you crazy if you're from Germany, for example, or from Switzerland, where time is like how you, I mean, they invented the watch for crying out loud. It's like the Swiss watch, you know? So if you go down south, like in southern Italy, and you expect a train to run on time, you're, stop. Like, what are you doing? So when I lived in Italy, I lived in Rome, which is kind of like midway. So sometimes the trains ran on time. And then we went up and we visited Switzerland, and it was like, this is insane. Like, it was so crazy. It was so precise. I mean, to the second that train shows up, you get on, it leaves, boom. I was like, this is amazing, right? There, it is very, very precise. There's a precision to time in Germany and in Switzerland, and to a certain extent in the United States. We fit more in line with that. Whereas if you're in Italy or France or Spain, it's going to have that more leisurely, in our, that's what feels like to us, appreciation for the present. In fact, for Italians, they have an appreciation for emotional. Like, time is almost connected to your emotions. So it's hey, we are enjoying this time together, you and I. And this is enriching and this is fulfilling. They have an expression, we don't live to work, we work to live, right? And so what matters right now is that we're sitting down having this cappuccino. Now, if I sat down with Nathan, so Nathan's from Germany, say, and I'm Italian, and I sit down and I go, Nathan, why are you so upset? He goes, because we were supposed to meet at 9. It's 9:30. And I go, well, what do you mean? He says, look, it says so right here on my day timer. It says 9 o'clock. You were in here till 9:30. And I'd say, well, just change it to say 9:30, and then we'll both be happy, right? What's the problem? And he goes, you're crazy, okay? Whoa. Okay, so there's different views of time. Now, some cultures have like a cyclical view of time. So It has to do with where your emphasis is. I'm being very, really simplistic here, but it has to do with where your emphasis lies. For us, it's in the future. For others, it's the present. For in a lot of Asian cultures, it's actually cyclical in the sense that there's as much emphasis placed on the past as on the future. In fact, if you go to, this isn't Asian, but if you go to Madagascar, their view of time is almost the flip of ours. They view time, if they were to visualize it, not coming from ahead, but from behind. So the future is back here. And it's flowing through you to the present and to the past. Why? Because you can see the past. So how do you make decisions? It's not based on where you're trying to go. It's on what has happened. The emphasis, this is all unknown. I can't see it. It's behind me. I can't see the future. I don't know what's going to happen. So what do I worry about? I worry about now and I worry about the past because the past informs how I make decisions now. Okay. One of the most fascinating examples of time that's different from ours that I read was in Indonesia. I was reading an account of this pastor who was there. He was a missionary from the U.S. And so he went over and he was in this village and they had church. And so he said, great, what time should I be at church? And they used this word, siang. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. I don't know how to pronounce it. But it's siang. Okay. They said, it's at siang. He said, well, what time is that? Well, they were used to Americans. They were used to Westerners. And they said, well, it's about 10:30 on your watch. He said, okay, great. So he shows up at 10:30. And he said, well, sometimes there'd be people. Sometimes there weren't people. Sometimes there's a lot of people. What do I do with this? Well, they gave him another term, and it was sore. So this roughly is 10:30. This is roughly 2:30. Okay? Now, Indonesians are really, really polite people. Okay? They're always greeting everyone. So he said, you don't walk by somebody and you never say hi. So he would greet someone in the morning, and he'd say, good morning. And they say, no, it's afternoon. So the next day at the same time, you say, hey, good afternoon. They said, what are you talking about? It's morning. It's like, you guys aren't playing fair. What does this mean? He came to find out that siang doesn't mean a time. It means a temperature. Siang means when the heat of the day sets in after the cool of the morning. Sore means when the afternoon heat gives way to the evening cool. So what time is church? Hot. So he goes, at that point you start, okay, I think it's hot enough, so I'll show up. He said, it doesn't matter anyway, because people will kind of wander in for an hour, and everyone is on time. No one's ever late. Okay? We have different views of time. But for us, time is linear. Okay, it's passing us by. It progresses unrelentingly forward. And so this is how we visualize it. And so we can chart it out. We can divide it. And we can ascribe value to it. Correct? This time here is used for this purpose. And therefore, it has this value. And so I can tell you that my time is worth X number of dollars per hour. And so in that sense, if we visualize time this way, then we conceive of time like this. That time is finite. It is non-replenishable. It's a commodity. Time is money, right? So we speak, and you're probably familiar with this. This is how we speak of time all the time. We regularly speak of time in this way. That we can waste time, we can spend time, value time, give our time, take our time, let time get away, run out of time, use up our time, budget our time, saving time, buying time, time is money, and so on, right? It is a finite, non-replenishable, once it passes us by, we'll never get it back, commodity. And because of that, because it's passing us by, because it's linear, because it's moving and it's unrelenting, I feel the need. The need for speed, right? We love speed. Efficiency is one of our highest values. To do something fast and to do it well is better than to do it slow and to do it well. Sometimes it's even better to do it fast and not as well, right? We value efficiency. In fact, even better, if I can automate something so that it does it faster and better than someone, then I don't have to pay them anymore, even at the cost of their livelihood. By the way, there's a lot of other cultures that look at us and think, what is wrong with your values? Seriously messed up, right? But if you're efficient, then you spend less money and less time, and you can then save or gain more money and time. Efficiency is glorified, and we worship speed, which is why we love this guy. This is the world's fastest violinist. Isn't this fun?
Well, I was knocked off in a bike accident cycling around London about 4 years ago. I really hurt my wrist. My bandmate in the band Fuse said, Ben, why didn't you see this as a target of rehabilitation? Why didn't you go for this Guinness World Record? It had been set, and I aim to break it.
So, just give us a few bars of a normal pace. Now, that looks pretty fast to me anyway. Now, you upped it a bit.
Absolutely, we practice. If you can play something slowly, you can play it quickly. So I played it very slowly, and then I got it a little quicker.
Pretty cool, right? He can play really fast. It's not cool. Okay? Can I just that is ridiculous. Okay? One, that's not a violin. Anybody knows that? It's not even a violin. Yeah, so there's a difference between, so two things wrong with this violin. One is, how many strings does a violin have? I was hoping David Fandrich would be in here. Anybody play violin? Four. He had five strings. Now, that's not necessarily cheating. It's kind of like having a 12-string guitar, okay? It's not necessarily terrible. It is an electric violin, which is sort of like comparing an acoustic guitar to an electric guitar. It's especially important if you're trying to play fast. Why? Because amplification is done for you. You don't have to hit the notes or hit the strings with the same force evenly. It's doing a lot of the work for you. The other problem is if you slow this down, and I found YouTube videos that they did, slow this down, you find that he's not playing accurately at all, okay? But, and here's the deal, but it wouldn't even matter because what does that become? It becomes mush. It's just, okay, good job, all right? Faster is not better. It's not awesome. But you don't find many Guinness Book of World Records for the slowest violinist, so you got to do something, right? Okay. We don't care if you can play slow, just play fast. But we understand why we feel that need for speed, right? We understand why we value that, and it's very simple. If our time is finite, okay, it's passing us by, then shouldn't we make the most of it? I mean, shouldn't we be as busy as possible? Shouldn't we cram as much into it as possible? We're trying to get ahead. If we're not doing it, somebody else is passing us by. We're missing out. In fact, you could even justify this from Scripture. Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk, the Apostle Paul says, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I mean, isn't that what Paul's saying? He's saying, look, be as busy as possible. Make the most of the time that you have. It's finite. It's fleeting. You're going to run out. So be as busy as possible for the sake of Jesus. What, like if you want to Christianize it. But cram your life with as much as possible because you have limited time. Make the most of it. Is that what he's saying? Yeah. So there's a couple of words here that we need to unpack. So this phrase, making the best use of time, that's how it's translated, I think, in the ESV. It's actually two words here, exagorazo and kairos, to redeem and time. And exagorazo, this word to redeem, you guys probably fairly familiar with this concept. We use it in Christian lingo all the time. It has to do with purchasing back something that has been lost that we then retrieve, we redeem. This is the word used of how God rescues Israel out of Egypt. He brings them back. He pulls them back. He buys them back. Or God, Christ redeems our lives. Okay, it's being purchased back through his blood. Okay, so to redeem. But this word kairos is time. But it's not just any time. Now, there's two primary words in the Greek for time. One is kairos, but the other is chronos. Okay, and they're different. They're distinct. Chronos looks like this. This is Chronos. Doesn't look friendly, does he? Chronos is loosely what we think of as father time. Time that is unrelenting, it is oppressive, it is sequential, it's logical, it's chronological, and it never stops. It's when you're driving on the highway, it's the telephone poles. Boom, 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 boom. Just keeps going. Just keeps going. He's depicted this way because the baby is the future. What does time do? It eats the future. In fact, the other pictures that I didn't show you where he's actually like eating the baby. It's gross. Okay. He's got a Sith, right? Because again, he's killing the future. That's what he's doing. Father Time eats away at time. If time had a theme song, or Chronos, I should say, if Chronos had a theme song, it would be The Dark Side of the Moon. Time. Turn this down a little bit. Here's the lyrics. If they're a little small, I'll read them to you in a second. Little electric guitar solo. All right, well, we're running out of time, so I have to keep going. Irony. All right, so you run and run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking, racing around to come up behind you again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath and one day closer to death. Every year is getting shorter, never seem to find the time. Plans that either come to naught or half a page of scribbled lines. Hanging on in quiet desperation is the American way. The time is gone, the song is over. Thought I'd have something more to say. See, this is Chronos. Chronos is being enslaved to your calendar. Chronos is living your life according to your watch. What comes next? What comes next? What comes next? Because it's eating the future and you feel it. Time is passing you by and you're missing out. You're not what you want to be. You're not who you want to be. Your kids aren't who you want them to be. Opportunities are being lost forever. And you'll never get that time back. That's Chronos. But Kairos is different. Kairos has to do, put it this way, if Chronos is the quantitative value of time, right? It's how much time do you have. But Kairos is the qualitative side of time. It's the moment. It's that right moment at just the right time. It's the opportune moment, okay? Wizards, by the way, live according to Kairos because a wizard is never late. And he's never early. He is always right on time. Everybody in Indonesia getting to church is on Kairos time. That is just the right time. No one is ever late. Okay. So if Pink Floyd's song Time is the theme for Chronos, then maybe we say that the birds give us a little picture of Kairos there. You guys hear it? Nope. Better? Under heaven. A time to rejoin, a time to cry, a time to plant, a time to read, a time to kill, a time to heal. It's from Ecclesiastes. All right, you guys probably knew that. Okay, so in Ecclesiastes, wasn't written in Greek. But if you take the Hebrew word there that's used for time, it's et. And when it's translated into the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, guess what word they use? Kairos. Right, it's a moment. There's a right moment for everything. That's what he's saying. There's a right time. Okay. So we go back to Ephesians 5:15. This is what he's saying. Look carefully then how you walk, not as wise, but as wise, exagorazomenoi, ton kairon. In other words, you're buying back every moment. You're buying back the right moment, the opportune moment. You're, in the words of the great Robin Williams, carpe diem, you're seizing the day. It's not every moment, that's chronos. It's not watching every moment pass you by, wishing you were grasping every single one. It's the opportune moment. It's the right moment. It's that moment when you have the chance to win the girl's heart. It's that moment when you stand up for something that's right and speak up. It's that moment when you have the opportunity to speak grace into someone's life who desperately needs to hear it. Is that moment when you play with your kids instead of checking your email again, right? It's seizing those opportune moments instead of letting them pass you by. That's kairos. That's redeeming the time. That's seizing the day. And by the way, this is exactly what Jesus does for us. See, while we were still weak at the right kairon, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ seizes the opportunity, the opportune moment. And make no mistake, he could have let it pass him by. I mean, he's in the garden praying, God, please let this cup pass me by. But he says, I'm going to, in this moment, at the right time, the opportune moment, save the world. And he lays down his life. He takes that chance, that opportunity to save each and every one of us. And he seizes it. He seizes it. See, that's Chiron. Okay, so one of the ways, I would put it this way, one of the ways that we are called to imitate Christ isn't to pack our schedules and be as busy as possible. The way that we imitate Christ is by seizing the moment, the redemptive moment, the opportune moment. It's not always having your calendar on your phone at hand, right? But it's being willing to say, what's happening right now that I need to be aware of? And taking advantage of it instead of letting it pass you by. I think that is a beautiful imitation of Christ. All right, so let's come to this. What's the right tempo for life? Kind of wrapping up here. Put it another way, how fast should we run? I think there's a really simple answer to this. Whatever tempo allows us to redeem the moments God gives us. If you don't have time for the opportune moment, then you are going too fast. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. What's the right speed? Well, it depends, right? There is a pace, I think. Well, I erased it. There is a pace for life, okay? And there are times when it needs to speed up, and there's times when it needs to slow down. There's a time when we need to have some rubato in our lives. We need to steal some time back, in a sense. But what pace is it? It's the pace that allows you to hit every note. It's the pace that allows you to get the rhythm right. It's the pace that allows you to seize those opportune moments instead of saying, no, I'm enslaved to the clock. I'm enslaved to my calendar. I'm enslaved to my schedule. I cannot help this poor man who's been beaten lying at the side of the road because I'm too busy. This is why it says in my notes, if we live according to chronos, okay, with that view, then we have no choice but to push the pace because we might be missing out. See, this is one of the reason that we're afraid to slow down is because we're desperately afraid that we're missing out on happiness when it really comes down to it. We're striving for this happiness that we believe exists, that will satisfy us and make us whole and all the rest of it, and it's all a lie and it's all an illusion. But if we believe in Kronos, then it's like, I've got to take advantage of this time. And if I'm not taking advantage of it, somebody else is, and they're going to get ahead, and they're going to get the promotion that I think is going to make me happy. Or they're going to make the money that I wish that I had because I think that's what's going to make me happy. Or whatever that is. Maybe it's even for your kids. Man, my kid's going to miss out if he's not part of every single sport league team available. Right? We believe that we're missing out. Someone else is getting ahead while we're lagging behind. We're not winning. And this is what Kronos communicates to us. But if we view through life through the lens of Kairos, then there's no rush because God is in control. Remember what we said last week. God is good and life is a gift. I don't have to fight to gain. God gives me a beautiful gift of life that I just have to say thank you for and I have to enjoy. So I can take advantage of the opportunities that God gives me. Whatever tempo allows us to redeem the moments that God gives us. Problem, we're really bad at this. All right, so here's a few. So what do we do? What do we do about it? Let me give you a few suggestions. These are not exhaustive. One is to be filled by the Spirit and be sensitive to His leading. If you keep reading in Ephesians 5, this is actually where Paul heads, and it's not exactly how he's applying it, but it's applicable. Being filled with the Spirit means that I'm being sensitive to saying, okay, what do you have for me today, God? This week, as I've been kind of reading through this, I've just started praying every day, the beginning of each day, God, help me to be sensitive to the detours that you have in my life. That when the guy at the gas station walks over and I know he's going to ask me for money, instead of being like, how quickly can I get out of this? Thinking, is this a detour that you have for me, God? Like, can I take the time for this? So being sensitive to that and asking God to show us where we need to take more time. And being willing to say yes to opportunities that He puts in front of us. I think that's a really hard thing to do, and I think we have to pray. And I think we have to be conscious of it and even looking for those opportunities instead of just, oh yeah, I guess I could have done that. Well, now you've missed that opportune moment. Secondly, you got to build margin into your schedule. I realize that depending on your job, this can be really difficult. Some jobs are really, really busy. I think that there's something here, you're not going to like this. You need to ask yourself whether or not what you're doing in your job is all that necessary. I'm gonna come back to this in just a second, but let's just leave it at build margin into your schedule. So time is like money, right? There's this correlation. Think about money. One of the most stressful things you can do in your marriage and in your life is to not have margin in your money. When you're living on every single penny, it creates a great deal of stress. One of the ways that you alleviate that is by working through your budget, and I realize this is a big conversation, but to create margin. Same with time. What do you need to kill? What do you need to put to bed, say no to, so that you can create more margin that alleviates stress in your life? Now you have time to breathe. Now you have time to rest. Now you have time to say yes to maybe how God is leading you. Maybe there's an opportunity that you can't say yes to. You need to change something, okay? Real simple ways to build time. Man, turn off the TV. Get off your phone. Learn to say no. This is also really hard because we want to be important. And so people say, well, hey, will you do this for me? Of course. I want to be at every meeting. I want to be involved in every project. I want to say yes to everything because people need me. Yeah, learn to say no. Okay? You are not the savior of the world. You don't need to be involved in everything. And look, we can do this in the church and we can do this at work. It ends up being about our own ego. So learn to say no. Say no to yourself. There are times, especially, look, we're most of us here, right? We're parents. We've got little kids. There are times that we need to say no to things that we want to do because this is not the right season. There's an opportune moment when your kids are at home. Seize it. Not just that one moment. I'm talking about like that's a season, right? So like, I've got a couple of hobbies that I would love to do. I'm saying no to those right now. Hopefully, I get to pick them up later when my kids are a little bit older, but I don't have the margin in my schedule for that. I could make it. I could force it. Carrie probably wouldn't be real happy with me, right? But I'm going to say no to that. This isn't the right season. Don't wear a watch. I do this every once in a while. I go for like a season. Like, I'll just take several months and just be like, no watch time. Because what I find is I just constantly like, okay, what time is it? What time is it? I don't need to know. I really don't. I'm fairly busy. That's okay. But my count, like my phone reminds me if I have something coming up. I'll check my calendar in the morning. Oh yeah, I've got this appointment, this appointment, this appointment. That's it. I don't need to know every minute of every day. That's just me. So understand, when I'm talking about scheduling, I love schedules. Okay, this is not me. Oh, Lucas is just like some weird hippie. You know, like, I just do whatever I want with time. I live by a schedule. I love schedules. I love, you know, like laying it all out, man. That's how I am. But I'm going to fight against that. I'm going to do some things so that I'm not living enslaved to my watch. Okay. I don't like Kronos. I'm not going to give him that time. Take a nap. One of my mentors years ago, he said, one of the most spiritual things you can do is to take a nap. Amen. It's true. When I was in seminary, I don't have time for this story, I'll tell you anyway. When I was in seminary, we had this this class on spiritual formation, and you had to choose one spiritual discipline that you were going to faithfully do every single day for like a month that you knew would like be really valuable for your spiritual life. I said, done. Took a nap as much as I could. I took a nap almost every single day, just like 20 minutes, just a power nap, you know, just, I don't know if that's what they had in mind, but it worked. Okay, what else? What else? Probably don't have time to answer this right now, but be thinking, what about you, right? How do you build this margin? How can we become better at having the tempo of life that allows us to seize those moments that God gives to us? What needs to change? How can you change it? A few rules of thumb. If you don't have enough time for your family, your spouse, or the Lord, then your schedule is too full. We schedule what has value to us. You find time for what matters to you. I've talked to people, it's like, I've got no time, I got no time, I got no time, but man, I will make time for the season finale of This Is Us. Well, you had some time in there, didn't you? Okay? So what do you value? What are your priorities? If you don't have time to spend, right, with your family and with your spouse and with the Lord, then your schedule is too full. If you don't have time to rest or breathe and to appreciate the good gifts that God gives you in your life, then your schedule is too full. We've been praying every day this week. Part of my morning time with my boys is this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. If I don't have time to even just be aware of this day as a gift and I might not have tomorrow, then I have too much packed into my schedule. I got to slow down. Last one. If you don't have margin in your day to take a detour, then your schedule is too full. You got to be able to say yes. You got to be able to say yes. Last thing, believe the gospel, okay? This is what we were talking about last week. God is good and life is a gift, okay? If we are afraid to slow down because we're afraid of Kronos, but like we said, that's all an illusion. But the gospel tells us that this life that we have, right, we didn't earn it. It's a gift to us. God is good. He's going to provide for us. What he desires for us is to live in relationship with him and to enjoy the life that he gives to us. And if we believe the gospel, I think that has a profound effect on how I view my life. I mean, that makes sense, right? It should affect the way that I pursue things. It should affect the pace of my life. It should affect the way that I go about doing my job. And so I have to believe the gospel that I don't have to buy into the race that or the pace that society sets for me. I knew a guy in Pennsylvania, a guy I really respect. You know, he made plenty of money. He was offered multiple promotions, and he kept turning them down. He just said, I got enough. This is a gift. I want time to do this with my kids. I want time to do this with the church. I want time to do this. So he intentionally created margin, and they lived in a more modest home than they needed. They drove old ratty cars. They still made plenty of money, believe me, more money than I'll ever see. He gave more of it away, you know? Why? Because life wasn't about gain for him. It's not about gain for him. It's a gift. It's to be given away. It's to be generous. It's because of the gospel that we can rest in the knowledge that life is a gift. So don't miss it. We don't have to live up to expectations that others have for us. God is good. So sleep well. And this is so antithetical to our culture, to our society. You know, what am I doing? We don't have to have this to race after happiness. You don't have to be defined or judged by how busy people see you. We love that virtue, by the way. We see busyness as a virtue. How are you doing? Busy. That computes in my mind. This person is valuable, they have worth, they are not lazy, they're contributing to society, and they must be important, right? That's what that, it's code. How are you doing? That's what I'm saying. I'm important, I'm you know, that's what I'm saying when I say I'm busy. And we're scared not to even say it. Somebody walked in my office this morning, I was like, how's it going? I want to be like, I'm busy. Be like, okay, you know what? I'm not that busy. You know, I could be busier. But I shouldn't feel guilty about that. Like, I'm trying to create this pace in my life that allows me to play out those opportune moments. Here's the last thing. In case you've forgotten, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are going to live forever. So this whole idea that you're missing out, that time is going to pass you by and you don't have enough of it, that's not true. You can't possibly miss out on everything that God has for you. You have all of eternity ahead of you. So quit living like this is all you've got. And that, you know, promotion or that paycheck or whatever it is that you're rushing after, understand, man, in a million years, who cares? You're not going to remember that. I'm really convinced that when we come to the end of our lives, that what I'm not going to be really proud of is that I kept my schedule faithfully. I'm not going to be lying there, you know, saying goodbye to my family, Lord willing, if that works out, you know. Maybe I just keel over tomorrow. I don't know. But whenever that happens, what I'm not going to be like, man, I'm so glad I never missed an appointment. It's never late. I nailed that, man. I filled my calendar and I just went bam, 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 bam. Win. Man, the things that I'm going to tell my kids about, the stories that I'm going to treasure, the memories that I have, the stories that I hope to tell my grandkids, those are all about the detours that I took. It's when I took the road less traveled. That's what's valuable. I think that God wants us to take more detours. Can I just be really honest with you guys? I think God wants us to take more detours. I think He wants us to take more risk. I think He wants us to let go of the schedules just a little bit. And that is terrifying. I get it. I'm a schedule guy myself. But I think that's the kind of life that He wants for us. I don't know about you, that sounds way better than what I'm being sold every day. It sounds way better to me. All right, that's all I got. We're out of time. I'm going to pray, and I hope this is helpful, all right?